all of each other that they stayed away. So, they won't be coming?
We can only pray, Amryn said. And pray we deal with this fast enough that they don't figure out we've played them all.
What of the human queens, though? I chewed on the tip of my thumb. They have to be aware that no bargain with Highburn would ultimately work to their advantage.
Moore braced her forearms on her thighs. Who knows what Highburn promised them? Lied about? He already granted them immortality through the cauldron in exchange for their cooperation. If they were foolish enough to agree to it, then I don't doubt they've already thrown open the gates to him.
But we don't know that for certain, Amryn countered. And none of it explains why they've been so quiet, locked up in that palace.
Rhys and Asriel shook their heads in silent confirmation. I surveyed them, their fading amusement.
It drives you mad, doesn't it? That no one has been able to get inside that palace.
A low growl from both of them before Asriel muttered, You have no idea.
Amryn just clicked her tongue, her upswept eyes settling on me.
Those Highburn commanders were fools to reveal their plans in regard to breaking the wall. Or perhaps they knew the information would return to us, and their master wants us to stew.
I angled my head. You mean shattering the wall through the holes already in it?
A bob of her sharp chin as she gestured to the books around her.
It's complex spell work, a loophole through the magic that binds the wall.
And it implies, Moore said, frowning deeply, that something might be amiss with the cauldron.
I raised my brows, considering.
Because the cauldron should be able to bring that wall down on its own, right?
Right,
Rhysand said, striding to the book on the nightstand.
He didn't dare touch it. Why bother seeking out those holes to help the cauldron, when he could unleash its power and be done with it?
Maybe he used too much of his power transforming my sisters and those queens.
It's likely,
Rhys said, stalking back to my side.
But if he's going to exploit those tears in the wall, we need to find a way to fix them before he can act.
I asked Amryn, are there spells to patch it up?
I'm looking, she said through her teeth. It'd help if someone dragged their ass to a library to do more research.
We are at your disposal,
Cassian offered with a mock bow.
I wasn't aware you could read, Amryn said sweetly.
It could be a fool's errand, Asriel cut in before Cassian could voice the retort dancing in his eyes. To get us focused on the wall, as a decoy, while he strikes from another direction.
I grimaced at the book.
Why not just try to nullify the cauldron again?
Because it nearly killed you the last time,
Rhys said in a sort of calm, steady voice that told me enough. There was no way in hell he'd risk attempting it again. I straightened.
I wasn't prepared in Highburn. None of us were. If I tried again...
Moore cut in.
If you tried again, it might very well kill you. Not to mention, we'd have to actually get to the cauldron, which isn't an option.
The king, Asriel clarified at my furrowed brow, won't allow the cauldron out of his sight. And he's rigged it with more spells and traps than the last time.
I opened my mouth to object, but the Shadow Singer added, We looked into it. It's not a viable path.
I believed him.
The stark honesty in those hazel eyes was confirmation enough that they'd weighed it thoroughly.
Well, if it's too risky to nullify the cauldron, I mused. Then can I somehow fix the wall? If the wall was made by fairies coming together, and my very magic is a blend of so many...
Amryn considered in the silence that fell.
Perhaps.
The relationship would be tenuous, but... Yes, perhaps you could patch it up. Though your sisters, directly forged by the cauldron itself, might bear the sort of magic we... My sisters play no part in this. Another beat of silence, interrupted only by the rustle of Azriel's wings. I asked them to help once, and look what happened. I won't risk them again. Amryn snorted. You sound exactly like Tamlin. I felt the words like a blow. Rhys slid a hand against my back. Having appeared so fast, I didn't see him move. But before he could reply, Moore said quietly, Don't you ever say that sort of bullshit again, Amryn. There was nothing on Moore's face beyond cold calm. Fury. I'd never seen her look so... terrifying. She'd been furious with the mortal queens, but this... This was the face of the High Lord's third in command. If you're cranky because you're hungry, then tell us. Moore went on with that frozen quiet. But if you say anything like that again, I will throw you in the God's damned Sidra. I'd like to see you try. A little smile was Moore's only answer. Amryn slid her attention to me. We need your sisters. If not for this, then to convince others to join us of the risk. Since any would-be ally might have some difficulty believing us after so many years of lies. Apologize, said Moore. Moore, I murmured. Apologize, she hissed at Amryn. Amryn said nothing. Moore took a step toward her and I said, She's right. They both looked to me, brows raised. I swallowed. Amryn is right. I walked out of Rhys's touch, realizing he'd kept silent to let me sort it out. Let me figure out how to deal with both of them as family, but mostly as their High Lady. Moore's face tightened, but I shook my head. I can ask my sisters. See if they have any sort of power, see if they'd be willing to talk to others about what they endured. But I won't force them to help if they do not wish to participate. The choice will be theirs. I glanced at my mate, the male who had always presented me with a choice, not as a gift, but as my own God's-given right. Rhys's violet eyes flickered in acknowledgement. But I'll make our desperation clear. Amryn huffed. Hardly more than a bird of prey puffing its feathers. Compromise, Amryn, Rhys purred. It's called compromise. She ignored him. If you want to start convincing your sisters, get them out of the house. Being cooped up never helped anyone. Rhys said smoothly, I'm not entirely sure Valaris is prepared for Nesta Archeron. My sister is not some feral animal, I snapped. Rhys recoiled a bit, the other suddenly finding the carpet, the divan, the books, incredibly fascinating. I didn't mean that. I didn't answer. Moore frowned in disapproval at Rhys, who I felt watching me carefully, but asked me, What of Elaine? I shifted slightly. Pushing past the words still hanging between me and Rhys. I can ask, but she might not be ready to be around so many people. I clarified, she was supposed to be married next week. So she keeps saying, over and over, Amryn grumbled. I shot her a glare. Careful. Amryn blinked up at me in surprise. But I went on. So, we need to find a way to patch up the wall before Highburn uses the cauldron to break it, and fight this war before any other territories join Highburn's assault, and eventually get the cauldron itself. Anything else? Rhys said behind me, his own voice carefully casual.
That covers it. As soon as a force can be assembled, we take on Highburn.
The Illyrian legions are nearly ready,
Cassian said.
No, Rhys said. I mean a bigger force. A force not just from the Night Court, but from all of Prithian. Our only decent shot at finding allies in this war.
None of us spoke. None of us moved, as Rhys said simply.
Tomorrow invitations go out to every High Lord in Prithian, for a meeting in 2 weeks. It's time to see who stands with us, and make sure they understand the consequences if they don't.
Chapter 17. I let Cassian carry me to the house 2 hours later, just because he admitted he was still working to strengthen his wings and needed to push himself. Heat rippled off the tiled roofs and red stone as we soared high over them, the sea breeze a cool kiss against my face. We'd barely finished debating 30 minutes ago, only stopping when Moore's stomach had grumbled as loudly as a breaking thunderhead. We'd spent our time weighing the merits of where to meet, who to bring along to the meeting with the High Lords. Invitations would go out tomorrow, but not specify the meeting place. There was no point in selecting one, Rhys said, when the High Lords would no doubt refuse our initial selection and counter with their own choice of where to gather. All we had chosen was the day and the time. The 2 weeks a cushion against the bickering that was sure to ensue. The rest? We just have to prepare for every possibility. We'd quickly returned to the townhouse to change before heading back up to the house, and I'd found Nuala and Caradwen waiting in my room, smiles on their shadowy faces. I'd embraced them both, even if Rhys's hello had been less enthusiastic. Not for dislike of the half-wraiths, but I'd snapped at him in Amryn's apartment. He hadn't seemed angry, and yet I'd felt him carefully watching me these past few hours. It made it strange to look at him. Strange enough that the appetite I'd been steadily building had gone a bit queasy. I'd challenged him before, but not as High Lady. Not with the tone. So I didn't get to ask him about it, as Nuala and Caradwen helped me dress, and he headed into the bathing room to wash up. Not that there was much finery to bother with. I'd opted for my Illyrian leather pants and a loose white shirt, and a pair of embroidered slippers that Cassian kept snorting at as we flew. When he did so for the third time in 2 minutes, I pinched his arm and said, "It's hot! Those boots are stuffy!" His brows rose. The portrait of innocence.
I didn't say anything.
You grunted. Again.
I've been living with Moore for 500 years. I've learned the hard way not to question shoe choices.
He smirked.
However stupid they may be.
It's dinner, unless there's some battle planned afterward.
Your sister will be there. I'd say that's battle aplenty.
I casually studied his face, noting how hard he worked to keep his features neutral, to keep his gaze fixed anywhere but on my own. Rhys flew nearby, far enough to remain out of earshot as I said, "Would you use her to see if she can somehow fix the wall?" Hazel eyes shot to me, fierce and clear.
"Yes. Not only for our sakes, but she needs to get out of the house. She needs to..."
Cassian's wings kept up a steady, booming beat, the new sections only detectable by their lack of scarring.
"She'll destroy herself if she stays cooped up in there."
My chest tightened. I thought through my words. "The day she was changed, she... I felt something different with her." I fought against the tensing in my muscles as I recalled those moments. The screaming and the blood and the nausea as I watched my sisters taken against their will, as I could do nothing, as we... I swallowed down the fear, the guilt. It was like everything she was, that steel and fire, it became magnified, cataclysmic, like looking at a house cat and suddenly finding a panther standing there instead. I shook my head, as if it would clear away the memory of the predator, the rage simmering in those blue-gray eyes.
"I will never forget those moments,"
Cassian said quietly, scenting or sensing the memories wreaking havoc on me.
"As long as I live."
"Have you seen any glimpse of it since?"
"Nothing."
The house loomed, golden lights at the walls of windows and doorways beckoning us closer.
"But I can feel it. Sometimes,"
he added a bit ruefully.
"Usually when she's pissed at me, which is most of the time."
"Why?" They'd always been at each other's throats, but this... Yes, the dynamic between them had been different earlier, sharper. Cassian shook his dark hair out of his eyes, slightly longer than the last time I'd seen it.
"I don't think Nesta will ever forgive me for what happened in Highburn. To her, but mostly to Elaine."
"Your wings were shredded. You were barely alive." For that was guilt, ravaging and poisonous in each of Cassian's words. What the others had been fighting against in the loft. "You were in no position to save anyone."
"I made her a promise."
The wind ruffled Cassian's hair as he squinted at the sky.
"And when it mattered, I didn't keep it."
I still dreamed of him trying to crawl toward her, reaching for her, even in the semi-unconscious state the pain and blood loss had thrown him into, as Rhysand had once done for me during those last moments with Amarantha. Perhaps only a few wing beats separated us from the broad landing veranda, but I asked, "Why do you bother, Cassian?" His hazel eyes shuddered as we smoothly landed, and I thought he wouldn't answer, especially not as we heard the others already in the dining room beyond the veranda. Especially not when Rhys gracefully landed beside us and strode in ahead with a wink. But Cassian said quietly, as we headed for the dining room,
"Because I can't stay away."
Elaine, not surprisingly, didn't leave her room. Nesta, surprisingly, did. It wasn't a formal dinner by any means. Though Lucian, standing near the windows and watching the sun set over Valaris, was wearing a fine green jacket embroidered with gold, his cream-colored pants showing off muscled thighs, and his knee-high black boots, polished enough that the chandeliers of phalite reflected off them. He'd always had a casual grace about him, but here tonight, with his hair tied back and jacket buttoned to his neck, he truly looked the part of a High Lord's son. Handsome. Powerful. A bit rakish, but well-mannered and elegant. I aimed for him as the others helped themselves to the wine breathing in decanters on the ancient wood table, keenly aware that while my friends chatted, they kept one eye on us. Lucian ran his one eye over me, my casual attire, then the Illyrians in their leathers, and Amryn in her usual gray, and Moor in her flowing red gown, and said,
"What is the dress code?"
I shrugged, passing him the glass of wine I'd brought over. "It's whatever we feel like." That gold eye clicked and narrowed, then returned to the city ahead. "What did you do with yourself this afternoon?"
"Slept," he said. "Washed. Sat on my ass."
"I could give you a tour of the city tomorrow morning," I offered. "If you like." Never mind that we had a meeting to plan for, a wall to heal, a war to fight. I could set aside half a day, show him why this place had become my home, why I had fallen in love with its ruler. As if sensing my thoughts, Lucian said,
You don't need to waste your time convincing me.
I get it. I get that we were not what you wanted. Or needed.
How small and isolated our home must have been for you once you saw this.
He jerked his chin toward the city, where lights were now sparkling into view amid the falling twilight.
Who could compare?
I almost said, Don't you mean what could compare? But held my tongue. His focus shifted behind me before he replied, and Lucian shut his mouth. His metal eye whirred softly. I followed his glance and tried not to tense as Nesta stepped into the room. Yes, devastating was a good word for how lovely she'd become as High Fae. And in a long-sleeved, dark blue gown that clung to her curves before falling gracefully to the ground in a spill of fabric. Cassian looked like someone had punched him in the gut. But Nesta stared right at me, the fae light shimmering along the silver combs in her upswept hair. The others, she dutifully ignored, chin lifting as she strode for us. I prayed that Moore and Amryn, their brows high, wouldn't say any.
Where did that dress come from?
Moore said, red gown flowing behind her as she breezed toward Nesta. My sister drew up short, shoulders tensing, readying to... But Moore was already there, fingering the heavy blue fabric, surveying every stitch.
I want one,
she pouted, her attempt, no doubt, to segue into an invitation to shop for a larger wardrobe with me. As High Lady, I'd need clothes, fancier ones, especially for this meeting. My sister's, too. Moore's brown eyes flicked to mine, and I had to fight the crushing gratitude that threatened to make my own burn as I approached them.
I assume my mate dug it up somewhere, I said, throwing a glance over my shoulder at Rhys,
who was perched on the edge of the dining table, flanked by Az and Cassian, all three Illyrians pretending that they weren't listening to every word as they poured the wine amongst themselves. Busybodies. I sent the thought down the bond, and Rhys's dark laughter echoed in return.
He gets all the credit for clothes, Moore said, examining the fabric of Nesta's skirt while my sister monitored like a hawk. And he never tells me where he finds them. He still won't tell me where he found Feyre's dress for Starfall.
She threw a glare over her shoulder.
Bastard.
Rhys chuckled. Cassian, however, didn't smile, every pore of him seemingly fixed on Nesta and Moore, on what my sister would do. Moore only examined the silver combs in Nesta's hair.
It's a good thing we're not the same size, or else I might be tempted to steal that dress.
Likely right off her, Cassian muttered.
Moore's answering smirk wasn't reassuring. But Nesta's face remained blank, cold. She looked more up and down, noting the dress that exposed much of her midriff, back, and chest, then the flowing skirts with sheer panels that revealed glimpses of her legs, scandalous by human fashions.
Fortunately for you, Nesta said flatly, I don't return the sentiment.
Azriel coughed into his wine, but Nesta only walked to the table and claimed a seat. Moore blinked but confided to me with a wince,
I think we're going to need a lot more wine.
Nesta's spine stiffened, but she said nothing.
I'll raid the collection, Cassian offered,
disappearing through the inner hall doors too quickly to be casual. Nesta stiffened a bit more. Teasing my sister, poking fun at her, I snatched a seat at Nesta's side and murmured,
They mean well.
Nesta just ran a finger over her ivory and obsidian place setting, examining the silverware with vines of night-blooming jasmine engraved around the hilts.
I don't care.
Amryn slid into the seat across from me, right as Cassian returned, a bottle in each hand, and cringed. Amryn said to my sister,
"You're a real piece of work."
Nesta's eyes flicked up. Amryn idly swirled a goblet of blood, watching her like a cat with a new interesting toy. Nesta only said,
"Why do your eyes glow?"
Little curiosity. Just a blunt need for explanation. And no fear. None. Amryn angled her head.
"You know, none of these busybodies have ever asked me that."
Those busybodies were trying not to look too concerned, as was I. Nesta only waited. Amryn sighed, her dark bob swaying.
"They glow because it was the one part of me the containment spell could not quite get right. The one glimpse into what lurks beneath."
"And what is beneath?" None of the others spoke, or even moved. Lucian, still by the window, had turned the color of fresh paper. Amryn traced a finger along the rim of her goblet, her red-tinted nail gleaming as bright as the blood inside.
"They never dared ask me that either."
"Why?"
"Because it is not polite to ask. And they are afraid."
Amryn held Nesta's stare, and my sister did not balk, did not flinch.
"We are the same, you and I," Amryn said.
I wasn't sure I was breathing. Through the bond, I wasn't sure Rhys was either.
"Not in flesh. Not in the thing that prowls beneath our skin and bones."
Amryn's remarkable eyes narrowed.
"But I see the kernel, girl."
Amryn nodded, more to herself than anyone.
"You did not fit. The mold that they shoved you into. The path you were born upon and forced to walk. You tried. And yet you did not, could not, fit. And then the path changed."
A little nod.
"I know what it is to be that way. I remember it. Long ago as it was."
Nesta had mastered the Fae's preternatural stillness far more quickly than I had. And she sat there for a few heartbeats, simply staring at the strange, delicate female across from her, weighing the words, the power that radiated from Amryn. And then Nesta merely said,
"I don't know what you're talking about."
Amryn's red lips parted in a wide, serpentine smile.
"When you erupt, girl, make sure it is felt across worlds."
A shiver slithered down my skin. But Rhys drawled,
"Amryn, it seems, has been taking drama lessons at the theater down the street from her house."
She shot him a glare.
"I mean it, Rhysand."
"I'm sure you do," he said, claiming the seat to my right. "But I'd prefer to eat something before you make us lose our appetites."
His broad hand warmed my knee as he clasped it beneath the table, giving me a reassuring squeeze. Cassian took the seat on Amryn's left, Asriel beside him, Moore grabbing the seat opposite him, leaving Lucian... Lucian frowned at the remaining place, setting at the head of the table, then at the blank, barren spot across from Nesta.
Shouldn't you sit at the head?
Rhys raised an eyebrow.
"I don't care where you sit. I only care about eating something, right?"
He snapped his fingers. "Now." The food, prepared by cooks I made a point to go meet in the belly of the house, appeared across the table in platters and spreads and bowls. Roast meats, various sauces and gravies, rice and bread, steamed vegetables fresh from the surrounding farms. I nearly sighed at the smells curling around me. Lucian slid into his seat, looking for all the world like he was perching atop a pincushion. I leaned past Nesta to explain to Lucian,
"You get used to it. The informality."
"You say that, Feyre, darling, like it's a bad thing,"
Rhys said, helping himself to a platter of pan-fried trout before passing it to me. I rolled my eyes, sliding a few crispy pieces onto my plate. "It took me by surprise that first dinner we all had, just so you know."
"Oh, I know,"
Rhys grinned. Cassian sniggered. "Honestly," I said to Lucian, who wordlessly stacked a pile of buttery green beans onto his plate but didn't touch it, perhaps marveling at the simple fare so at odds with the overwrought dishes of spring. "Asriel is the only polite one." A few cries of outrage from Moore and Cassian, but a ghost of a smile danced on the Shadow Singer's mouth as he dipped his head and hauled a platter of roast beets sprinkled with goat cheese toward himself.
"Don't even try to pretend that it's not true."
"Of course it's true," Moore said with a loud sigh. "But you needn't make us sound like heathens."
"I would have thought you'd find that term to be a compliment, Moore,"
Rhys said mildly. Nesta was watching the volley of words as if it were a sporting match, eyes darting between us. She didn't reach for any food, so I took the liberty of dumping spoonfuls of various things onto her plate. She watched that, too. And when I paused, moving on to further fill my own plate, Nesta said,
"I understand
what you meant about the food." It took me a moment to recall, to remember that particular conversation back at our father's estate, when she and I had been at each other's throats over the differences between human and fey food. It was the same in terms of what was served, but it just tasted better above the wall.
"Is that a compliment?"
Nesta didn't return my smile as she speared some asparagus with her fork and dug in. And I figured it was as good a time as any, as I said to Cassian, "What time are we back in the training ring tomorrow?" To his credit, Cassian didn't so much as glance at Nesta as he replied with a lazy smile,
"I'd say dawn, but since I'm feeling rather grateful that you're back in one piece, I'll let you sleep in. Let's meet at 7.
"I'd hardly call that sleeping in," I said.
"For an Illyrian it is," Moore muttered. Cassian's wings rustled.
"Daylight is a precious resource."
"We live in the Night Court," Moore countered.
Cassian only grimaced at Rhys and Asriel.
"I told you that the moment we started letting females into our group, they'd be nothing but trouble."
"As far as I can recall, Cassian,"
Rhys countered dryly,
"you actually said you needed a reprieve from staring at our ugly faces, and that some ladies would add some much-needed prettiness for you to look at all day."
"Pig," Amryn said. Cassian gave her a vulgar gesture that made Lucian choke on his green beans.
"I was a young Illyrian, and I didn't know better," he said, then pointed his fork at Asriel. "Don't try to blend into the shadows. You said the same thing."
"He did not," Moore said.
And the shadows that Asriel had indeed been subtly weaving around himself vanished.
"Asriel has never once said anything that awful. Only you, Cassian, only you."
The general of the High Lord's army stuck out his tongue. Moore returned the gesture.
Amryn scowled at Rhys. "You'd be wise to leave both of them at home for the meeting with the others, Rhysand. They'll cause nothing but trouble."
I dared a peek at Lucian, just to gauge his reaction. His face was indeed controlled, but a hint of surprise twinkled there. Wariness, too, but surprise. I risked another glance at Nesta, but she was watching her plate, dutifully ignoring the others. Rhys said,
"It remains to be seen if they'll be joining us."
Lucian looked at him then, the curiosity in that one eye unmistakable. Rhys noted it and shrugged.
You'll find out soon enough, I suppose. Invitations are going out tomorrow, calling all the High Lords together to discuss this war.
Lucian's hand tightened on his fork.
All?
I wasn't sure if he meant Tamlin or his father, but Rhys nodded nonetheless. Lucian considered.
Can I offer my unsolicited advice?
Rhys smirked.
I think that's the first time anyone at this table has ever asked such a thing.
Mor and Cassian now stuck out their tongues at him, but Rhys waved a lazy hand at Lucian.
By all means, advise away.
Lucian studied my mate, then me.
I assume Feyre is going?
I am. Amryn sipped from her glass of blood, the only sound in the room as Lucian considered again.
Are you planning to hide her powers?
Silence. Rhys at last said,
That was something I'd planned to discuss with my mate. Are you leaning one way or another, Lucian?
There was still something sharp in his tone, something just a little vicious. Lucian studied me again, and it was an effort not to squirm.
My father would likely join with Highburn if he thought he stood a chance of getting his power back that way. By killing you.
A snarl from Rhys. Your brothers saw me, though, I said, setting down my fork. Perhaps they could mistake the flame as yours, but the ice... Lucian jerked his chin to Asriel.
That's the information you need to gather. What my father knows. If my brothers realized what she was doing, you need to start from there and build your plan for this meeting accordingly.
Mor said, Eris might keep that information to himself and convince the others to as well, if he thinks it'll be more useful that way. I wondered if Mor looked at that red hair, the golden-brown skin that was a few shades darker than his brother's, and still saw Eris. Lucian said evenly,
Perhaps. But we need to find that out. If Baron or Eris has that information, they'll use it to their advantage in that meeting. To control it. Or to control you. Or they might not show up at all, and instead go right to Highburn.
Cassian swore softly, and I was inclined to echo the sentiment. Rhys swirled his wine once, set it down, and said to Lucian,
You and Asriel should talk. Tomorrow.
Lucian glanced toward the Shadow Singer, who only nodded at him.
I'm at your disposal.
None of us were dumb enough to ask if he'd be willing to reveal details on the Spring Court, if he thought that Tamlin would arrive. That was perhaps a conversation best left for another time, with just him and me. Rhys leaned back in his seat, contemplating something. His jaw tightened. Then he let out a near-silent huff of air, steeling himself. For whatever he was about to reveal, whatever plans he had decided not to reveal until now. And even as my stomach tightened, some sort of thrill went through me at it, at the clever mind at work. Until Rhys said,
There is another meeting that needs to be had. And soon.
Chapter 18
Please don't say we need to go to the Court of Nightmares,
Cassian grumbled around a mouthful of food. Rhys lifted a brow.
Not in the mood to terrorize our friends there.
Moore's golden face paled.
You mean to ask my father to fight in this war, she said to Rhys. I reined in my sharp intake of breath.
What is the Court of Nightmares? Nesta demanded. Lucian answered for us.
The place where the rest of the world believes the majority of the Night Court to be.
He jerked his chin at Rhys.
The seat of his power. Or it was.
Oh, it still is,
Rhys said.
to everyone outside Valaris. He leveled a steady look at Moore. And yes, Kyr's Darkbringer Legion is considerable enough that a meeting is warranted. The last meeting had resulted in Kyr's arm being shattered in so many places it had gone saggy. I doubted the male would be inclined to help us any time soon. Perhaps why Rhys wanted this meeting. Nesta's brows narrowed. Why not just order them? Don't they answer to you? Cassian set down his fork, food forgotten.
Unfortunately, there are protocols in place between our two subcourts regarding this sort of thing. They mostly govern themselves. With Moore's father, their steward.
Moore's throat bobbed. Asriel watched her carefully, his mouth a tight line. The steward of the Hewn City is legally entitled to refuse to aid my armies, Rhys explained to Nesta, to me. It was part of the agreement my ancestor made with the Court of Nightmares, all those thousands of years ago. They would remain within that mountain, would not challenge or disturb us beyond its borders, and would retain the right to decide not to assist in war.
And have they refused? I asked.
Moore nodded gravely. Twice. Not my father. She nearly choked on the word. But there were two wars, long, long ago. They chose not to fight. We won, but barely. At great cost. And with this war upon us, we would need every ally we could muster, every army.
We leave in 2 days, Rhys said.
He'll say no, Moore countered. Don't waste your time.
Then I shall have to find a way to convince him otherwise.
Moore's eyes flashed. What? Asriel and Cassian shifted in their seats, and Amryn clicked her tongue at Rhys. Disapproval.
He fought in the war, Rhys said calmly. Perhaps we'll be lucky this time, too.
I'll remind you that the Darkbringer Legion was nearly as bad as the enemy when it came to their behavior, Moore said, pushing her plate away.
There will be new rules.
You will not be in a position to make rules, and you know it, Moore snapped.
Rhys only swirled his wine again.
We'll see.
I glanced to Cassian. The general shook his head subtly.
Stay out of this one, for now.
I swallowed, nodding back with equal faintness. Moore whipped her head toward Asriel.
What do you think?
The Shadow Singer held her stare, his face unreadable, considering. I tried not to hold my breath. Defending the female he loved, or siding with his High Lord. It's not my call to make.
That's a bullshit answer, Moore challenged.
I could have sworn hurt flickered in Asriel's eyes, but he only shrugged, his face again a mask of cold indifference. Moore's lips pursed.
You don't need to come, Moore,
Rhys said with that calm, even voice.
Of course I'm coming. It'll make it worse if I'm not there.
She drained her wine in one swift tilt of her head. I suppose I have 2 days now to find a dress suitable to horrify my father. Amryn, at least, chuckled at that, Cassian rumbling a laugh as well. But Rhys watched Moore for a long minute, some of the stars in his eyes winking out. I debated asking if there was some other way, some path to avoid this awfulness between us, but earlier I had snapped at him, and with Lucian and my sisters here, I kept my mouth shut. Well, about that matter. In the silence that fell, I scrambled for any scrap of normalcy and turned again to Cassian.
Let's train at 8 tomorrow. I'll meet you in the ring.
7:30, he said with a disarming grin, one that most of his enemies would likely run from.
Lucian went back to picking at his food. Moore refilled her wine glass. Asriel, monitoring every move she made,
his fork clenched in his scarred hand.
8, I countered with a flat look.
I turned to Nesta, silent and watchful through all of this. Care to join?
No.
The beat of silence was too pointed to be dismissed. But I gave my sister a casual shrug, reaching for the wine jug. Then I said to none of them in particular, I want to learn how to fly.
Moore spewed her wine across the table, splattering it right across Asriel's chest and neck. The shadow singer was too busy gawking at me to even notice. Cassian looked torn between howling at Asriel and gaping.
My magic was still too weak to grow those Illyrian wings, but I gestured to the Illyrians and said, I want you to teach me.
Moore blurted, Really?
While Lucian said, Well, that explains the wings.
Nesta leaned forward to appraise me.
What wings?
I can shapeshift, I admitted. And with the oncoming conflict, I declared to all of them, knowing how to fly might be useful. I jerked my chin toward Cassian, who now studied me with unnerving intensity, sizing me up.
I assume the battles against Highburn will include Illyrians?
A shallow nod from the general.
Then I plan to fight with you, in the skies.
I waited for the objections, for Rhys to shut it down. There was only the howling wind outside the dining room windows. Cassian whooshed out of breath.
I don't know if it's technically even possible, time-wise. You'd have to learn not only how to fly, but how to bear the weight of your shield and weapons, and how to work within an Illyrian unit. It takes us decades to master that last part alone. We have months at best, weeks at worst.
My chest sank a bit.
Then we'll teach her what we know until then, Rhys said. But the stars in his eyes turned stone cold as he added, I'll give her any shot at an advantage, at getting away if things go to shit. Even a day of training might make a difference.
Asriel tucked in his wings, his beautiful features uncharacteristically soft, contemplative.
I'll teach you.
Are you certain? I asked. The unreadable mask slipped back over Asriel's face.
Rhys and Cass were taught how to fly so young that they can barely remember it. But Asriel, locked in his hateful father's dungeons like some criminal until he was 11, denied the ability to fly, to fight, to do anything his Illyrian instincts screamed at him to do. Darkness rumbled down the bond. Not anger at me, but as Rhys too remembered what had been done to his friend. He'd never forgotten. None of them had. It was an effort not to look at the brutal scars coating Asriel's hands. I prayed Nesta wouldn't inquire about it.
We've taught plenty of younglings the basics,
Cassian countered. Asriel shook his head, shadows twining around his wrists.
It's not the same. When you're older, the fears, the mental blocks. It's different.
None of them, not even Amryn, said anything. Asriel only said to me,
I'll teach you. Train with Cass for a few hours, and I'll meet you when you're through.
He added to Lucian, who did not balk from those writhing shadows,
After lunch, we'll meet.
I swallowed, but nodded. Thank you. And perhaps Asriel's kindness snapped some sort of tether in me, but I turned to Nesta. The King of Highburn is trying to bring down the wall by using the cauldron to expand the holes already in it. Her blue-gray eyes revealed nothing, only simmering rage at the king's name. I might be able to patch up those holes, but you, being made of the cauldron itself? If the cauldron can widen those holes, perhaps you can close them too. With training. In whatever time we have.
I can show you. Amryn clarified to my sister.
Or in theory I can. If we start soon. Tomorrow morning. She considered, then declared to Rhys,
When you go to the Court of Nightmares, we will go with you.
I whipped my head to Amryn.
What?
The thought of Nesta in that place.
The Hewn City is a trove of objects of power, Amryn explained. There may be opportunities to practice. Let the girl get a feel for what something like the wall or the cauldron might be like. She added when Asriel seemed poised to object. Covertly.
Nesta said nothing. I waited for her outright refusal, the cold shutdown of all hope. But Nesta only asked, Why not just kill the King of Highburn before he can act?
Utter silence. Amryn said a bit softly,
If you want his killing blow, girl, it's yours.
Nesta's gaze drifted toward the open interior doors of the dining room, as if she could see all the way to Elaine.
What happened to the human queens?
I blinked.
What do you mean?
Were they made immortal?
This question went to Asriel.
Asriel's siphon smoldered. Reports have been murky and inconsistent. Some say yes, others say no.
Nesta examined her wine glass. Cassian braced his forearms on the table.
Why?
Nesta's eyes shot right to his face. She spoke quietly to me, to all of us, even as she held Cassian's gaze as if he were the only one in the room.
By the end of this war, I want them dead. The king, the queens, all of them.
Promise me you'll kill them all, and I'll help you patch up the wall. I'll train with her.
A jerk of her chin to Amryn.
I'll go to the Hewn City, or whatever it is. I'll do it. But only if you promise me that.
Fine, I said.
And we might need your assistance during the meeting with the High Lords. To provide testimony to the other courts and allies of what Highburn is capable of. What was done to you.
No.
You don't mind fixing the wall or going to the Court of Nightmares, but speaking to people is where you draw your line?
Nesta's mouth tightened.
No.
High Lady or Sister, Sister or High Lady, people's lives might depend on your account of it. The success of this meeting with the High Lords might depend upon it.
She gripped the arms of her chair, as if restraining herself.
Don't talk down to me. My answer is no.
I angled my head.
I understand that what happened to you was horrible. You have no idea what it was or was not. None. And I am not going to grovel like one of those children of the blessed, begging High Fae who would gladly kill me as a mortal to help us. I am not going to tell them that story. My story.
The High Lords might not believe our account, which makes you a valuable witness. Nesta shoved her chair back, chucking her napkin on her plate, gravy soaking through the fine linen.
Then it's not my problem if you're unreliable. I'll help you with the wall, but I am not going to whore my story around to everyone on your behalf.
She shot to her feet, color rising to her ordinarily pale face, and hissed,
And if you even dare suggest to Elaine that she do such a thing, I will rip out your throat.
Her eyes lifted from mine to sweep over everyone, extending the threat. None of us spoke, as she left the dining room and slammed the door shut behind her. I slumped in my chair, resting my head against the back. Something thumped in front of me. A bottle of wine.
It's fine if you drink directly from it, was all Moore said.
I'd say Nesta rivals Amryn for sheer bloodthirstiness, Rhys mused hours later as he and I walked alone through the streets of Alaris. The only difference is that Amryn actually drinks it. I snorted, shaking my head as we turned onto the broad street beside the Sidra and meandered along the star-flecked river. So many scars still marred the lovely buildings of Alaris. Streets gouged from fallen debris and claws. Most of it had been repaired, but some storefronts had been left boarded up. Some homes along the river no more than mounds of rubble. We'd flown down from the house as soon as we'd finished dinner. Well, the wine, I supposed. Moore had taken another bottle with her when she'd disappeared into the house, Azrael frowning after her. Rhys and I hadn't invited anyone else with us. He'd only asked me through the bond, "Walk with me?" And I'd merely given him a subtle nod. And here we were. We'd walked for over an hour now, mostly quiet, mostly thinking, of the words and information and threats shared today. Neither of us slowed our steps until we reached that little restaurant where we had all dined under the stars one night. Something tight in my chest eased as I beheld the untouched building, the potted citrus plants sighing in the river breeze, and on that breeze, those delectable, rich spices, garlicky meat, simmering tomatoes. I leaned my back against the rail along the river walkway, watching the restaurant workers serve the packed tables. "Who knows?" I murmured, answering him at last. "Perhaps Nesta will take up the blood-drinking habit, too. I certainly believe her threat to rip out my throat. Maybe she'll enjoy the taste." Rhys chuckled, the sound rumbling into my bones as he took up a spot beside me, his elbows braced on the rail, wings tucked in tight. I breathed in deeply, taking the citrus and sea scent of him into my lungs, my blood. His mouth grazed my neck. "Will you hate me if I say that Nesta is difficult?" I laughed softly. "I'd say this went fairly well, all things considered. She agreed to one thing, at least." I chewed on my lower lip. "I shouldn't have asked her in public. I made a mistake." He remained silent, listening. "With the others?" I asked. "How do you find that balance between the High Lord and family?" Rhys considered. "It isn't easy. I've made plenty of bad calls over the centuries, so I hate to tell you that tonight might only be the start of it." I loosed a long sigh. I should have considered that telling strangers what happened to her in Highburn might not be something she was comfortable with. My sister has been a private person her entire life, even amongst us. Rhys leaned in to kiss my neck again. "Earlier today, at the loft," he said, pulling back to meet my eyes. Unflinching, open. "I didn't mean to insult her." "I'm sorry I snapped at you." He lifted a dark brow.
"Why in hell would you be? I insulted your sister. You defended her. You had every right to kick my ass for it."
"I didn't mean to undermine you." Shadows flickered in his eyes.
"Ah."
He twisted toward the Sidra, and I followed suit. The water meandered past, its dark surface rippling with golden fey lights from the street lamps and the bright jewels of the rainbow.
"That was why it was strange between us this afternoon."
He cringed and faced me fully.
"Mother above, Feyre."
My cheeks heated, and I interrupted before he could continue. "I get why, though. A solid unified front is important." I scratched at the smooth wood of the rail with a finger. "Especially for us."
"Not amongst our family."
Warmth spread through me at the words. "Our family." He took my hand, interlacing our fingers.
"We can make whatever rules we want. You have every right to question me, push me, both in private and in public."
A snort.
"Of course, if you decide to truly kick my ass, I might request that it's done behind closed doors so I don't have to suffer centuries of teasing. But
I won't undermine you in public, and you won't undermine me.